Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. We're going to read the first six verses here. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now let me just stop there. The Lord is your light and your salvation. The Lord is your light and your salvation. Okay? Now look what else he says. "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Come on, church. See, I want to get something across to us tonight. If the Lord is your light, then you don't have to be afraid of any darkness. Come on, right? When God lights things up, the darkness has to disappear because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Or in other words, the darkness can't penetrate the light. See, that's, we got to get that. You, Jesus says that you're the light of the world. So the Lord is our light, but then He's made us to be light because He took us out of the darkness and translated us over into the light. Hallelujah. See, you ought to get excited about it. The problem with the church today is we don't get excited about enough about what we have and who we are. We kind of get caught up in the world and what the world's doing and what the world says and what the natural says. But you've got to understand something. You've been seated far above all that. Come on now. Seated at the right hand of the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you bring yourself down to this earthly thing, this earthly level, then what you're doing is you're bringing yourself down to Satan's level. Did you hear what I said? You see, you've got to understand something. God has already placed you above Him. Amen. Far above all principality, right? Amen. All power, come on. And every name that's named, both in the earth and on the earth, right? God has placed you there. And the only way you get into the problems on the earth here is when you bring yourself down to get into them. You have to allow yourself to be drawn in. See, that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to draw you in. I love if you didn't get to come and hear the messages Pastor Huffman preached, you missed out. I'm just going to tell you, you missed out. But one thing that I love that he talked about was how the enemy tries to talk to you and get you back over on his level. While you're proclaiming what God says and what the Word says about you, he's telling you it's not going to work. You're going to fail. Come on. You can't do it. It won't happen. And you've got to continue to say what the Word says. You've got to stay in the light because He's trying to draw you back down to the natural. And you've got to stay in the Spirit. So here He says, you know, it's the Lord that's my light. I'm going to read that again because I just love it. The Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Think about that one for a minute. You know, it's real easy if you're not careful to let yourself get over in fear. But the Bible says that you and I are not to fear just the one that can kill us. But if we're going to fear somebody, we better fear, which it means a reverent fear when it's talking about God, that Him that can destroy both your soul in hell, right? So what I'm saying is this, there's nobody out here you ought to be afraid of. Nobody. Come on. No devil. It's real quiet now. See, there is nothing stronger on this earth than a son or daughter of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost and understands that they have the anointing of God and the power of God working on the inside of them. Nothing. No devil in hell can stand against you if you stand in the power of the Lord. So he says, who am I going to be afraid of? Right? The Lord's my salvation. He's my strength. Why should I be afraid of anybody? Amen. He's trying to get us to see this. And he goes on, he says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Wonder why? Because the Lord is my light. Come on. You see, David knew who his Lord was. He knew who his God was. And he knew God would be there for him. And he said, he didn't say, I don't have any enemies. He just said, when my enemies came and they thought they were going to eat me up, they thought they were going to have their way with me, they stumbled and fell. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you better get a hold of this. This is a word for somebody that you need to be able to hear this. He said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. You know what he said? I don't care what's coming against me. It don't matter that there's a war. It don't matter if there's a battle. It don't matter if there's an army. It don't matter if there's a bunch of mouths. It don't matter what's coming against me. I'm confident in something. What am I confident in? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Oh, come on now, church. You see, what he's trying to say is it don't matter what's going on around me, I've got to keep myself focused on the one thing. The thing I'm going to seek is this. No matter what's going on, no matter what, they're trying to draw you into a war, trying to draw you in. They were trying to get Hezekiah to come off the wall and talk. And he said, I don't got time to talk to you. I've got business for the Lord to do. And David says, one thing I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that's what he said. He says, listen, it don't matter when the enemy's trying to come in. What you do is you come into His tabernacle. You come into His presence. He'll put you on a solid rock and you begin to lift up your hands and sing praises, and the joy of the Lord's going to fill up your life. Amen. You cannot allow things that are going on in the natural to affect your joy. Come on. Why? Because joy is fruit of the Spirit. Pastor said it the other day. That joy that's on the inside of you did not come from this world. You can't get it from this world. Now, you can get a little happiness from the world from time to time, right? There's pleasure in sin for a season. But no. If you want true joy, then you seek after the Lord. And no matter what's going on, you make sure you're coming. The last place you need to stay away from when there's trouble is the house of God. The last place you need to stay away from when there's trouble and you're having trouble and there's things going on is away from God. It's amazing to me when folks get, married, people get in trouble with their marriage. Instead of them coming to the church, they run off and they won't come to church. And first thing you know, they're divorced. You know why? Because they never came into the house of the Lord, because this is the place where you find peace. This is where you find truth. This is where you'll hear what the Word would say to you and let God speak to you. But if you don't come in, God can't speak to you. Come on, I'm not saying He can't talk to folks out there. I'm just saying if you don't prepare yourself to hear Him, you won't hear Him. Come on now. So He says, I'm going to come into His sanctuary. I'm going to come into His tabernacle. I'm going to come in and I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him and let His joy fill my life. Come on. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So He says that's what we need to be doing. We need to be coming in. Now, notice here that He says, I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. Understand this, that fear happens when we don't fully trust God. Come on, you got to get a hold of that. Fear happens when you don't fully trust God. He's not really your light. Come on. See, it's quiet. I know it's not a popular thing, but it's still a true thing. If we can't trust God with everything, then we're not fully in the light. Come on now. You see, fear will come in if you don't fully trust God. You have to Make sure that you trust Him no matter what. Yeah, but now, Pastor, I got this report. I don't care what report you got. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Yeah, but so-and-so said that. I don't care what so-and-so said. What did God say? God said, if you can believe all things, everybody say all things, all things are possible to him that believeth. So that tells me that there is nothing impossible with God and there is nothing too big for God if you'll just stand in faith and believe and trust God. Come on. See, fear will get a hold of you and start painting pictures in your head. Come on. Start running movies in your mind if you're not careful. Come on now. The devil will start showing you all the bad. Come on now. You can get a bad report from the doctor and the devil already got rewriting your funeral in your head. You know, I wonder who'll preach my funeral. Wonder who'll come to my funeral. Come on now. See, you've got to realize the first thing you ought to say, if you get a terrible report, if the doctor looks at it and says you're not going to make it, what's the word say? I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Because the doctor's not the final authority. God is. So I'm going to fully rely and trust God. Amen. Don't allow that fear to come in because fear's not from God. I'm going to prove that to you by the Scriptures here just in a second. Okay. Matter of fact, let's go first, though, to John. Now, let me show you something. 1 John, chapter 4. We're talking about, you know, we have to trust God and realize that we need to fully trust God so that we cannot get ourselves over into fear. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 17. It says, herein is our love made perfect or mature or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, now listen to this, as He is, so are we in this world. Does anybody believe that? I believe that. I love Him enough to believe that. I started to say I'm just crazy enough to, but it ain't crazy to believe the Word of God. Come on. You're crazy if you don't believe the Word of God. Right? Come on. So look at that. Herein is our love made complete, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. Been a lot of people passing judgment on us, don't even know us. You want your love to be made perfect. Understand that as He is, so are we in this world. You've got to realize that you are a child of God and you've been anointed with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ was anointed with. He operated on this earth with the same Holy Spirit that you and I have to operate on this earth with. Now, see, it gets quiet when you talk like this because I know that, you know, religious folk don't talk this way. Traditional folk don't talk this way. But the Word talks this way. I didn't say as He is, so are we in this world. He did. Now, if you don't like that, you'll have to take it up with God. I suggest, you know, just get down on your knees and start telling Him that you just can't believe His Word. What? You just go ahead and call Him a liar. Because if you can't believe that, you're calling God a liar, not me. I'm just a mouthpiece for God. All I am is just telling you what the Word says. I just read that to you from the King James Version. The King James, I mean, you know. I read it from there, and that's what the King James says. As He is, so are we in this world. See, that messes with folks, but that's what John told us. You know, John was the disciple that loved Jesus, right? Amen. So let me read on just a little bit. As He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Notice that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love or complete love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Notice that. He that feareth has not been made complete in love yet. What's he saying? He's saying you've not fully trusting God because you're at that place to where you've not perfected love yet. Love says, I trust you, God, with my life and everything in it. That's what true love does, right? When you fall in love with somebody, you marry them and you say, well, you know, what's mine, yours, what's yours is mine, and we'll take care of each other and we'll grow old. Come on, right? We'll grow old together. Well, you know, it's the same thing with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is love. And the Bible says, as He is, what? So are we in this world. So we have to make sure that we're perfecting ourselves in love, or in other words, we're maturing ourselves over to the place where we'll trust God with anything. Now, that don't mean you go do foolish things. I mean, God gave you some common sense, right? You know, but what the Word says, that I got to trust Him with, because it's His Word and He's not a man that He can lie. If that Word's forever settled in the heaven, He watches over it to hasten it. In other words, to make it come to pass. So this Word, He will always confirm. He will always do His Word. He'll always watch over that. He'll always back up His Word with you. Now, He might not back up what you think about the Word. He might not back up what you say about the Word if it's not the Word. But He will back up His Word. Amen. He won't back down from it. It's settled. Already a done deal. So here he says that we have to make sure that we are perfected in love, because if we don't, then a fear will be able to come in. And that fear will have torment. Amen. It'll have torment. We have to be careful, church, to make sure that we understand that Jesus is our Lord and that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Come on, that's what His Word says. No weapon formed against us. So I'm just going to stay with His Word and let His Word be in my life, because I want to be matured in love to where I have no fear. See, you're looking at me funny. I don't have a fear of death. See how you're real quiet. I don't have any fear of death, because death's just a stepping stone over into glory. Come on, death doesn't have any hold on me. It doesn't have any hold on you. You're a child of God. See, I mean, again, I've preached on this so many times, but, you know, pretty well everything stems down to a fear of death. And you've got to overcome that. Fear of heights, fear of falling and dying. Fear of water, fear of drowning. Right? Fear of flying, afraid you'll crash and die. Name your phobia, it all comes right down to fear of death. And when you can overcome that and understand that, you're not going to live for an eternity here anyway. Our whole purpose here is to serve God, be witness for the Lord, accomplish what He wants us to accomplish on this earth, and then come and be with Him for eternity. Come on. And so here's where I'm at. I believe as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And you've got to believe that same thing. That don't keep the enemy from attacking you. But notice, when he comes after you, he'll stumble and fall. Because I'm stuck with the Word, and I'm stuck believing what the Word of God says, and God can't lie to me. And it's not because I'm perfect. I mess up all the time. But I live a repentant lifestyle. If I mess up, I'll say, Father, forgive me. I let my human part of me get a hold of me there, and I messed up. Come on now. You see, and so that's the thing. If you're over in fear, you've got over into fear, repent. Say, Lord, forgive me for getting into fear, because fear is not of you. I'm going to prove that to you. Go with me over here to the book of 2 Timothy. Look here. Paul now writing to Timothy. And, you know, as a pastor, he did such a good job. He talked about, you know, how Timothy was a young pastor and Paul, of course, was his spiritual father. But look here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's just begin reading from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in the remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now he's telling him, listen, Timothy, I know you're going through some things, but here's what I'm telling you. There's something on the inside of you that you've got to stir up. Come on now. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you how to get revenge on all those that are jumping on to you because you're a young pastor that think they know more than you and all. No, no. He said, I want to put you in remembrance, but that you got something on the inside of you that you need to stir up. There's gifts on the inside of you that you need to stir up. Look at verse 7. For God hath not, everybody say, hath not. He hath not given us the spirit of fear. Notice that right there. So if you've got some fear in your life, fear of this, fear of that, afraid of this, afraid of that, you've got to understand that that is not from God. Either that or God's a liar. The Bible's a lie. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice that. God didn't give a spirit of fear. So if you're getting over into fear, you better check to see where that's coming from. Better check to see who you're listening to. Better check to see who's speaking into your life. Because it's not God. Now, you know, I mean, I understand that folks get mad at me over this, but I'm just telling you what the Word says. You know. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you I haven't let fear get in my life before. I have. I've let it get in my life before. You know what I had to do? I had to go right back to this Word. I had to repent and say, Lord, I thank you that you've not given me that spirit of fear. Forgive me that I allowed that to get into my life. Forgive me, Lord, that I gave space to the devil. Because that's where, see, he's just looking for a place to try to get into your life. And so you have to just stand there and declare the Word of the Lord no matter what the situation is. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Right? David, the Lord's my light. Of whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid of? What kind of fear is it that's in your life that's coming after you? It didn't come from God. Just like sickness and disease, right? The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Well, now understand that if fear has torment, how many knows that'll destroy your life? So guess where it comes from? The devil. From the enemy. God did not give you a spirit of fear. And you need to get that inside you and realize that. And you know, and you can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. Did you know that? Come on. You just can't operate in the two. So we see this and see Paul talking about all this, and you understand that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now let me read on just a little bit. He said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a purpose for you before the world ever began. Think about that for just a minute. God knew you before He formed you in the belly of the womb. And He had a purpose for you. So you can never be ashamed of who you are. Come on, never be ashamed of who you are. Yeah, but I'm not like other people. Good. Good that you're not like others. Yeah, but you know some of these other people. I don't care. You see, a lot of times where we get in trouble is making these comparisons. We try to compare ourselves to somebody else. you know, they're smarter, they're better, they can do this, they're better athletes, they're better looking, you know. I'm going to tell you something. You need to look in the mirror and see who God made. And look at that person and say, you are wonderfully made of God. God, you are just like God made you, and you better be happy with that. It's amazing, you know, you see all the vanity with all the movie stars and all that stuff, you know. Because they think that, you know, they were so popular and everybody loved, you know. Well, you know, I mean, when you're 20 years old, your skin's tight. Right? Come on now. You know, that stays that way for a while, but then as you start to age, guess what? It starts loosening up some, right? Come on now. You know, who was it I saw the other day? I don't want to name a name, but I saw her, you know, and I just like, whoa, I wouldn't recognize her, you know. I mean, look, looks like a skinned cat with big lips. And I'm like, how could you look in the mirror and think that looks good? I mean, come on. Now, can we be honest? Can we be honest, really? When somebody's talking to you and their lips don't move, there's a problem. Right? God didn't do that. You did. And it's because you listened to the devil that told you you didn't look good no more. I got news for you. Grow old gracefully. Let God be the light of your life. Come on, church. God made you that way. You know, things will droop. I mean, it's all right if you've got your jaws drooping down. The person that married you still loves you for who you are. And if they don't, they got a bad problem. You probably shouldn't have married them in the first place. Amen. See, you're looking at me funny. That's kind of what happens, you know. A lot of times as people get older, they think, you know, I'm going to find me somebody younger. Well, you can't even keep up with them. Come on, it's the truth and you know it. You know, but they think they can, especially men. You know, they 50-year-old man wants to get him a 20-year-old woman. Come on. I know I'm off subject a little bit here. Okay. But see, that's a fear of getting old. And you know what? It's a blessing to get old. Because the alternative is to die. You know, and sure, your body's going to change some, but you know, you don't have to let your mindset change. You know, if you want to do something about, you know, the way you look, you just have to start eating healthy, exercising, and doing all that stuff. That'll help you. If you want to live long and you know, tooting your lips out ain't going to make you live no longer. And it sure ain't going to make you look no better. Or tooting anything else out for that matter. Okay. And we'll move right on from that because that just maybe just went over a line. But you got to be happy with who you are. Okay? Don't buy into this world. That's vanity of the world. It's the pride of life that the Bible talks about that's in this world. Amen. People, if they don't love you for who you are, they don't love you anyway. And if they don't love you, then they're not in the Word of God because the Word of God says that we're to love everybody. Yeah, I know there's some folks that are not very lovable, but you still got to love them according to the Word of God. And what I mean by that, you can love them with a godly love. When you see that person, no matter how bad you hate them, you realize that that's somebody that God created, and the greatest thing that could ever happen to them is for them to give their life to Jesus and come to the kingdom of God and be able to go to heaven. Amen. So, oh wow, how'd I go away over there? I did that by talking about fear and vanity and all that kind of stuff that God's not given to us. That's not God speaking to you, telling you how bad you look when you look in the mirror and you need to do this and you need to... That's not God. No, that's the enemy just trying to get you to be worried about... And worry and fear, they're like first cousins. Amen. They kind of just run together. So you have to be careful of that. But God's not given that to you. Let me show you what God has given you. Look over here in Romans chapter 8. With me. I got to hurry a little bit here. I don't want to keep you too long on a Wednesday night. But Romans chapter 8, look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Notice that. We're not to live after this flesh, church. We're to live after the Spirit. And to mortify the deeds of the body means simply this. We kill those things that are the lust of the flesh, that are part of the flesh, that are not God. Whatever's not pointing toward God, we might as well kill it. We get rid of it because we're after the Spirit. We're not after the flesh. It goes on and it says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see that? If you're led by God, the Spirit of God, you're the sons and daughters of God. Verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy God. See, we've not received the spirit of fear again. God gave us a spirit of adoption. In other words, brought us into His family to get us away from the spirit of fear. And then he goes on and says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Do you see that? Now, I could read on there where Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see that? Don't matter what you're going through right now, it ain't nothing compared to how God is going to raise you up, glorify you, and put on a show with you. Amen. So you've got to realize that. Now when we look at this, there's a fear that means to be afraid, and we've been talking about that. But there's also a fear that means to reverence God. Fear the Lord. Because Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Another place it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's talking about here now not being afraid of God. God doesn't want you to be afraid of Him. He's your daddy. And He don't want you to be afraid of Daddy. But He does want you to respect and revere Him for who He is. And you know, that's true even in the natural. And it's something that's being lost in this time we're living now. Is the reverence for the parents and the family. Amen. The kids are telling the parents what to do, and the parents are telling act like they can't do anything with the kids. They should have grown up back when we grew up, or when I grew up some. Now you can get mad at me if you want to, but you know, they weren't mean to us. They just taught us that you respect your elders. You respect other adults. You don't speak when we're around somewhere. You don't speak unless you're spoken to. Come on. You don't go ransacking through somebody's house if we go there. You don't get in their drawers, and you don't get in their cabinets, and you don't start. Come on now. So you're looking at me kind of funny. These are things that have been lost. You know, I mean, you, we didn't have Walmarts back then. But if we'd have had Walmarts, you would have caught one of us screaming through Walmart saying, I want a toy! You'd have got a toy, all right. Mm-hmm. Here's my belt. Have this. Come on now. And they wouldn't have been afraid of somebody calling the law on them. Come on now. And see, immediately people freak out. Oh, he's talking about being children. No, I'm not. No, I'm talking about making your children behave. And again, let me just say this so I can clarify this, because I know they take little clips and do different things. Anybody that would hurt a child ought to be hung up by their toenails. Okay? Whether they're whipping them too hard. Come on. You know. But they're your children. You need to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. You need to raise them up in the way they ought to be so they'd have a little sense. Okay. That's that don't go very far, but you know, it's the fear of the Lord. It's the reverence of the Lord that we're talking about here. So that's the beginning of wisdom. To know that we're to reverence God. We need to teach our kids to reverence God. Did you hear me? We need to be teaching our kids to reverence God. There's a generation come up that don't even know God. Because they've never been taught about God or about reverencing God. And it's sad because it's going to become a godless generation, which makes it that much easier for the Antichrist to come on the scene. Now, he's coming. We understand that. But it's so sad to see how people fall into that because they don't want to believe what the Word says because the Word tells you what to do and people don't like to be told what to do. Amen. We're growing up generations on electronics and electronics is telling them everything the world wants them to know and the parents aren't telling them anything. Amen. That's why they're not getting a reverence or a fear of the Lord into them. Now, jump over here with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Can I just stop right there? Did your Bible say that? Did you just see what the Bible said? It says, if I don't forget His Word and keep His commandments, length of days, long life, and peace shall be added to me. I'm going to tell you something, brother. When your time comes, you'll go. Would you please show me that in the Word? Now look. By keeping His commandments, I can get length of days, long life, and peace added to me. Now, there's no doubt that every woman, one of us, should Jesus tarry, is going to come to that point where we leave this earth. But it don't have to be early. Did you hear me? See, here's the deal. A lot of times we do things ourselves to shorten our days. Come on now. But it says there's things that you can do to lengthen your days. At length of days and peace in your life. I mean, length of days without peace wouldn't be good. Come on now, you need to have that abundant. That's where abundant life comes in. Length of days with abundant life. Peace. Where you're not in torment. You're not all the time messed up. Let's read on a little bit. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." I'll take some favor, won't you? Favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." You see that? Fear the Lord. Look, health to you. Marrow to your bones. Just to reverence God. See, when we start seeing this, we start saying, well, why in the world wouldn't I want to fully trust God? I mean, He's wanting me to follow His commandments and give me a longer life. Wanting to give me peace and bless me. And here He is wanting to give me health and healing. Come on now. Just because I'm reverencing Him and putting Him first in my life. See, we're singing that song now, you know, I trust in God my Savior. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be trusting in God our Savior. He'll never fail. Ever will He fail in your life. So here He tells us this. He says, Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it's going to be health to your flesh and marrow to your bones. Now, one more scripture, and then I'm going to close this thing down. Jump with me over here to Psalm 115. 115:11. Now listen to this. Remember we said there's the fear that's afraid, and then there's the fear that the reverent that's reverencing God. And here's another reverence in God. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You're blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. The Lord is mindful of us. Do you see that? He's thinking about you. Do you see that? And He wants to increase you. He wants to bless you. Notice He says, the dead can't praise me. Why would I want you dead? I'd rather have you alive with your mouth open and giving me praise. So if I'm going to have fear in my life, it's not going to be that I'm afraid. It's going to be the fact that I'm going to reverence Him. Because the fear of the Lord is what's going to get you to the place that you need to be, that you can fully trust God no matter what the situation is. Can anybody give me an amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that the fear of the Lord is absolutely the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Father, the fear of You, Lord, the reverence of You, God, is what really gives us the life that we really need to be living. So I ask You to help us, Father God, to always